and welcome to another episode of Cathode Ray Mission. As always, I am Will Scoville in Berkeley, California. With me via satellite in Oklahoma City is Randy Heyer. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Will. How's it hanging?
Pretty good. How have you been?
I'm doing well.
Excellent.
Yeah, living my best life, watching a movie that I didn't think I'd be seeing twice, but I did just for this podcast.
I also watched it twice. So let's get into it. Our guest this week is a returning guest. He was on one of our earlier episodes, brought a couple of good things to the table. It was Extraction. It was the half of it. Is that the name of the movie?
Yeah.
Scene
comedy. Yeah.
It is Stephen Koo. Welcome back, Stephen.
Hey, I feel really bad because I also rewatched Mortal Kombat. Like, it ended like 10 minutes before we started recording. And I'm like, I kind of don't want to give them a second view to boost their numbers. I don't want them to think that we want more of this. But now we've all doubled the number of views for that for ourselves.
Yep.
Because they track that data. They pay attention to that data.
Track like when you watch and like what time of day and how far you get into it. So. So as Stephen mentioned, the movie this week is Mortal Kombat 2021, the brand new offering from HBO Max that came out a few weeks before this episode dropped.
As part of the Warner deal.
So it's kind of like, I don't know, are they going to still keep on doing this through the summer or?
They said for the rest of 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I guess Dune is still coming out simultaneously, right? Even if it's in the theater.
Yeah. Well, we're getting Army of the Dead, that movie we were just talking about before we started the episode. Yeah. So.
Well, maybe they're going to do, I mean, they've been trying to do that for a long time where stuff comes out on home video at the same time as it comes out in the theater. So you can kind of do either one. And I wonder if that's going to become a bigger trend for like smaller movies, not for like big tentpole movies.
Yeah.
But like,
which I don't know. It's kind of nice being, you know, something that would normally come out just on streaming. It's like you also have the option of going to see it in the theater. Whereas like, Randy, you'll remember like in the 90s where it was just like direct to video releases for a lot of stuff, a lot of decent movies that maybe had a New York and LA premiere, but never came to the middle of the
country. Or like, in OKC, but like for 1 week at one theater, you know,
or even like one day and like one screen.
Yeah.
Like I remember when Crumb came to town, it was like there for like two showings and then it was gone.
Nice.
Like I was like, I missed it. So like, I didn't even get to see it.
When Crumb came to town.
Or no, it was, and also like Brain Candy. I missed Brain Candy when it came out. So.
Anyway.
So this is 2021's Mortal Kombat, a movie we were all asking for.
You know what? I wasn't not asking for. I mean, I was ready to receive its message, honestly. But
I mean, I don't know. I don't need it. But like before it came out, they were kind of like pumping the old Mortal Kombat movies. And I put Annihilation on.
Oh, God.
I kind of enjoyed it. I had fun watching it. It was like super campy, and it was like, this is a movie based on a video game. It's like, what am I expecting? And it's like,
Well, I mean, like that the first one, not like Annihilation, but the one that like came before it, the one that was just called Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm. I argued for a very long time that is the most successful video game movie of all time, in the sense that it was exactly what it wanted to be. It wanted to be a B action like martial arts movie. And it really nailed it. It had a really campy, ripped sorcerer dude. It had a bunch of unnecessary martial art fight scenes that they come up with a loose way for having it. It had jokes. It had a lot of things that are like great for a martial arts like campy movie. And they were self-aware. That's what makes the jokes work, is that they know that like they're a video game movie and they're not trying to be serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
But like the reason that Street Fighter like failed really hard, I would argue, is that it tried to tell you a story. Like, it tried to tell you a story when the source material was, it's people fighting.
There wasn't enough street fighting in Street Fighter. Yeah.
There wasn't. There was like no. Yeah.
Maybe none. I don't really remember any. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, here's. Like,
yeah.
The thing is like you would go to like Aladdin's castle and you would spend like 2 hours there, like 2.5 hours there and not even play Mortal Kombat. You would just watch other people play it, you know?
Yeah.
And that was like the entertainment. So you're asking people to step away from kind of that kind of engagement and go into a dark theater for 90 minutes and watch the same characters fight sometimes and you have absolutely no control over what they do. Yeah. And so, and I guess with the video games, I kind of dropped off at a certain point and, and so there's like all the lore and like what video games have expanded to, but you know, ultimately it's still a fighting game, right?
Yeah.
And so there's no like big cutscenes that in the same way that there's like development in an RPG or something or an open world.
You'd be surprised actually. Really? Like, for their like DC Injustice games, which are made by the same studio. If you like, I've rewatched like the cutscenes. If you string them all together, it's 2 hours. It's like a movie unto itself. Yeah. Mm. But you're right with like Mortal Kombat. It's a little harder. It's weaker in the sense that Mortal Kombat, the premise is everyone's getting killed. So how do you write sequels for a thing? Like even with this movie, spoilers alert, Sub-Zero, the actor who plays Sub-Zero, signed on to do 5 more of these. and he got killed. Like he got killed.
Yeah. Sort of.
Signed on to do 5 more. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be fine, I think. But that's always been a hurdle in the Mortal Kombat ones. Like I remember there's like some Mortal Kombat for the N64 or whatever, where like it opens with Liu Kang getting killed in a cutscene and it's supposed to be a big deal. And I'm like,
yeah,
we've like played like 8 games of where he's been killed. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. And so this movie, it's like a lot of the characters I recognize are back.
Sure.
There are a few that I didn't. And then it's just kind of like, they're getting the gang together. That's really because you can feel that this is part of an intended series of movies. And so this is part one.
Well, so one of the interesting things, and that got a lot of ire from the reviews and from the people who've been watching it, like the nerds, is the main character, Cole Young or whatever.
Yeah.
He's a new character they made up. They made him up. He doesn't exist in any video games. And like, the reasoning was they didn't want like Johnny Cage to be our lens character. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where like, they just don't want like another like white guy to be the lens character. But I'm like, but Liu Kang could have been the lens character. Like
Liu Kang is the main character of the first movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Like anybody could have been the lens character. You didn't need to make this new boring guy.
Yeah. And even in this movie, they gave Liu Kang like enough of an arc, you know, about him.
Yeah.
And Kung Lao being brothers or adopted brothers or whatever they did. And then one of them dying and then like, okay, you can take that for another movie and a half, you know?
Yeah.
I guess we got this guy who I guess grows a sweater and then.
Yeah. Like, grows a sweater as his power. Like,
and then he kills Goro, which is like, why kill Goro in this movie? It was cool. Yeah. I like that scene, but I don't know.
There's some like really, really good questions about this one. And I think like there's this thing where it's like, it's kind of like what I was talking about with like what went wrong with the Street Fighter movie is this movie tried to make too much sense. I think like it tried to establish a lot of things. And so like as an audience member, you're trying to take it seriously. Oh, but then they're not consistent with their own rules. Right. So it's like, what's the point of this fighting tournament if Shang Tsung can kill everybody before the tournament and nothing bad happens?
Yeah.
Like we never got the tournament this movie.
I know. That was crazy, dude. Like
Mortal Kombat did not happen.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Horrible.
Yeah, that is my.
If at the end it was like they're like fight and then it cut to credits, that would have been okay. I would have been mad, but not this was just like a big fuck you, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, well, sorry, go ahead.
It's interesting now. In the, with our Palm Springs episode, when I tweeted that out, I also tweeted a link to a Patrick H. Willems video about time loop movies. He just put out the day before this recording one about why it's so hard to stick a landing in a trilogy, like hitting that part three. Mm. And he did talk about like in Back to the Future or even The Matrix, where it was set up to make one movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie is self-contained. It is a movie there. And then they make part two and three together as an intended two more sequels. And then with and that's where it becomes like this, like, okay, you know, it, it becomes like they don't really sit on their own. Like part two isn't his own movie. And with this, it's suffering the same problem. Like,
From the first movie.
from the get-go. It feels like a part two almost. And, and so you're like, you're supposed to know these characters already. And, you know, at least with the Marvel movies, you get like Captain America got his own first movie where he's the focus.
Yeah.
Thor got his, Iron Man got his. And then you're slowly building them up over like 25 movies.
I don't, you didn't this think that, like, that's what this was? I thought that's what kind of what, it was so much of like, we got to learn our own magic tricks and stuff like
that. Yes, but this is like, you had, in Marvel, you had X number of movies before you had the Avengers. This is like starting with the Avengers. And it's like, you don't have any sort of backstory. So you got to build, you got to like fit all that backstory into the Avengers movie instead of having those separate movies to kind of like tell that in a little bit longer space.
Yeah.
But it's like, again, it's like with that intent also of making five other movies from the get go. And it's like, all right.
I wish they would have just had the balls to like, it opens and it's just, this is the tournament. And they just show you the characters like,
oh my God,
we all know we've all played the game here, you know? Yeah. And then they just we'll fight each other. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, like the best like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat story movie so far has been Enter the Dragon, where it's like, hey, it's a tournament, like that's
yes,
it.
Like, no,
like we,
for real, yeah, absolutely. Bloodsport like, is another one I think about too, where it's just like, that's exactly what, and Mortal Kombat is born out of movies like that. Like Mortal Kombat is inspired by Enter the Dragon and Bloodsport and shit. It's like, God, just make that movie, but with these like basically superheroes, you know? Like,
Yeah, absolutely. Like there's so many like things that they could have done where it's like you just say Sub-Zero's from one of the other realms. You imply there's a bajillion other realms. Just say that he's from a realm where you can shoot ice balls. It's fine. I don't need any more.
Like, yeah, it's like, oh, you got the mark. You're chosen, and you're the secret prince, and you're the one. And oh, can I be the one? I don't think I could be. He's not ready to be the one, but oh, suddenly he grows a sweater. He's the one now.
Someone,
and
someone on like YouTube, the script pitch guy who does the sketches. He was saying like, so like if an old lady accidentally ran over Kano with a car, does she have to defend Earthrealm as the and also these rules don't seem to matter. Like the whole like Shang Tsung attacking everyone, that's like an example of what appears to be that Mortal Kombat follows like Air Bud style rules of it's not in the rule book that we can't do this.
Yeah.
It's not in the rule book. There's like a million questions of like, if Raiden can teleport people, teleport all those assholes into a volcano, like, you know, it was like, I don't know. Like,
Yeah. The whole movie seemed to prove that you didn't even need to do the tournament. It's like, we can just fight, you know, like, I don't know.
Just at find him and kill him.
Fine. Yeah. I think, but,
Well, I don't know. It's just, it's also kind of like, it's a very much an intro movie, but again, it feels like a part two because like Jax and Sonya that show up, and it's like, it feels like those are characters that you meet at the beginning of part two, and it's hey, I know someone that you knew in part one. Get in the car, and you know that it really just it feels like you're dropped in the middle, but it doesn't feel like the middle part either because again, there's no tournament or anything.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with the book Save the Cat. It's a book about screenwriting. It's like one of the most popular books about screenwriting. But the very like core thesis of it, which is the title Save the Cat, is the idea that you aren't really going to root for a main character until you have like a reason to root for them. Mm-hmm. And like Save the Cat, like if your main character is like a Jean-Claude Van Damme, like a badass, like Bruce Willis angry, doesn't make friends kind of type. You have to show them saving like a cat in the beginning, like in the first 10 minutes, so that we can get on board with the fact that they're an asshole. Like, yeah. And that's the thing, is that like Mortal Kombat just kind of makes a lot of assumptions that you'll like these people, but it never earns it. Like the new character Cole, there's never like, I can't think of a reason that I like him. Like Scorpion, they did an okay job in the very beginning where it's like Scorpion's like this badass, but he's nice to his kids, and while he's dying he still cares about his daughter. And then we don't see Scorpion for the rest of the movie, but we cared about him a lot more than we did this random bad MMA guy. He's bad at MMA, that's his thing. I don't relate to that. I mean, I'm sure I'm bad at MMA, but it's
not, yeah. Cole, I mean, it was what a horrible mistake to make him the main character. Yeah. Sorry, Will, yeah. What were you gonna say?
No, it's just it with him, it's just like he can't get a break. He's doing MMA for $200, and
yeah,
he's got a kid, you know, and is like,
in fact, he seems like very like irresponsible that he's still fighting for like $200 when he's got a kid. I'm like, go get a job. What are you doing, yeah, man? Like. It's like, what if a main character is supposed to learn a lesson? I don't know what lesson he learned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least like, in this one, we didn't have like in Real Steel with his kid showing up at the ringside, yeah, and then
that's true.
You know, and then he's suddenly finds the power in himself. Him and he kind of does. But
also, Real Steel, they didn't have to explain to us all the rules behind robot fighting. I was like, I'm on board. I get it.
Yeah, it's just like, robots fight until they can't fight anymore. Done.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And in Real Steel, and this is what I hated about this movie, is that when they fight, they all fight simultaneously. So it's cutting.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you doing it like this? Like, focus on one fight and then focus on another fight. Like, it's a musical or something. But instead of songs, you break out into fights, you know, and just like, I have musicals on the brain because of a different movie we're going to peek behind the curtain. Yeah. But
they were doing these things like matching cuts. So someone would get like choked out, and then they would cut to another fight that's happening where another person is getting choked out. And then they're using that as like kind of to go between it. And all of this, again, is not in any sort of tournament. This is all outside of a tournament, which is what Mortal Kombat is all about. Again, about a tournament. And again, like first, the original Mortal Kombat and Annihilation tournament is the central thing that is happening in the movies. Like it's all about the tournament. Yeah.
And Randy, you bring up another interesting point that stood out to me, and this is going to sound like a bit of an old man complaint, but the music. I think the music being like very orchestral instead of like the campy techno from the first movie. Yeah,
exactly.
Where it was like, let's get hyped. This is all ridiculous. Just, you know, it feels like a roller coaster ride. But like that's what that they knew their lane. Like this movie is going for like some sort of like, you know, Marvel movie orchestra thing. And like, I don't care enough to want to like, I was getting a little mad because they kept teasing that Mortal Kombat song and then not playing it.
You would get like the motif. You get the motif and I'm like, you need to hire like the Crystal Method to come in and do this fucking score. Like, come on. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And no, sorry. I was just going to say, two former guests of ours, Jordan and Griff, or Luther Manhole from Chatpile, they're both, keep in mind, they're both the exact same age. They're both 30, which is like 6 years younger than me, and I'm younger than Will. They both think it's good. They both think that I'm like an old man for thinking that it should revolve around a tournament and not the lore and stuff like that. And like everybody agrees that Cole's like a bad character, but like he's apparently doesn't ruin the movie. The movie is good, apparently, and I'm wrong, is what I've heard from two different people. So I don't know. Okay. Like I haven't played the new games or something, but I don't know.
So here's something about that. There is a point I think when Mortal Kombat went from the arcade to the home console system.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, those guys are 30. You know, I am 40, and so when Mortal Kombat came out, my experience was at the arcade.
Right.
Yeah. And so you're trying to get as many people to drop quarters into that as possible.
Yeah.
So you have just like fight, okay, done, next one, fight, and very little like storyline. And then here comes all these ones on the console, and Steven, this is probably when you get more cutscenes and a bigger story. So they're probably more attached to that sort of gameplay versus the old.
I played arcade. 1 through 3. And before, they're 3D now, you know? I mean, like, I never got into that era where there was cutscenes or anything like that. Just, like, the Super Nintendo ones and then arcade, were the ones I played.
So I'll say, like, this movie isn't, like, the worst movie I've seen. And I will say, like you know, like, I bet 12-year-old me would love this movie as much as I loved like that the old Mortal Kombat movie when I was like 12 or whatever when I saw it. You know, like so you know, comparing the two, I'm sure I've got nostalgia glasses when I'm comparing the two. You know, but you're absolutely right though. Like watching it just as a movie, like the action's fine. That like we don't have enough of these kinds of movies where it is just a bajillion people fighting each other. The last time I saw like a bunch of people fighting a bunch of people was I think Cobra Kai. That's what I like. That's fine. We don't have enough of that, but the main character still sucks. The movie still does a lot to not earn you caring about people.
Yeah,
like these are like valid movie criticisms that would point to it's not a good movie. All these random Air Bud rules for how the movie works and doesn't work. Like, there's like a lot of things where it's like Raiden at the end when he just zaps Shang Tsung, but for some reason earlier in the movie he couldn't, but nothing's changed. Like, there's a lot of these sorts of things that happen.
Yeah.
So, like, I will say, like, Randy, you're right. The movie's not like great. It's like, but you know, it's not like a thing where it's like it has to be awful, the worst piece of shit, or it has to be like the greatest cinema thing. There's a gray area, and this movie is in that gray area.
Yeah.
Of there's things to love and there's things to hate, and it's fun to make fun of the awful things that happen in it.
Yeah. Well, another thing is that like you say that the 12-year-old you might like it, and. Yeah. I also think about the violence in this movie compared to like the cartoony, like people were really upset about the video game violence when the first Mortal Kombat came out, which seems kind of cute now. And so when the original movie came out, the violence was there, but it was a little bit more reflective of what the video game was. And I think it was PG-13.
Yeah, let's try and get a 13-year-old audience, so it couldn't go too violent.
So this one is R, and there are scenes in here of just like when that bat lady gets like cut in half, and it just like all right. I mean, that's like that's awesome. I like seeing that, but like is this made for a 13-year-old anymore? Mm-hmm. Is it
Is
it made for cartoonish? You could never do that to somebody.
No, but I mean, is it also made for like a 30-year-old? Versus, you know,
personally, I was a little, I wasn't so impressed. I wished it was more practical. It was all the blood and everything is digital shit in this movie.
Yeah.
And so it was never going to be classic status for me just based on that. Like, at least in the original movie, Goro looks goofy, but he is like a man, like a puppet man, you know?
Yeah, in a rubber suit. And
it's like, credit where credit's due. I don't know. I like that shit personally. Mm-hmm. I like it more. This is going to look equally goofy, you know, in 10 years, especially, but
whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, so we are getting more of these movies? Is it already?
No, undoubtedly.
Potentially 5. Yeah. Like up to 5, but I don't know. And like, they just really have to stay in their lane of like, keep doing crazy characters with crazy powers that do interesting fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think if they keep doing that, they'll be fine. If they try to, I guarantee based on all of this like backlash that somehow Cole gets written out of the next movie.
Yeah, he's going to get like murdered by, and then it is like, because they teased Johnny Cage at the very end of this movie, and he's just
going
to get replaced by Johnny Cage.
The wise
who everyone wants to see.
They should have made Sonya the main character. Like, fucking
That would have been
so right in front of them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's the character. She doesn't have, she's helping them, but she doesn't have the birthmark. And then when she kills Kano or she kills somebody, she gets the birthmark. It's like, that should have been the end of the movie. Like, I don't know. Yes. Whatever.
Yeah.
Also,
both her and Liu Kang have a bigger, like, you know, stakes in the story than the main character in the story. So.
Yes.
Yeah. And and like what I was saying before about the whole, like, we liked, or at least I liked Scorpion more as a character just because he shows character in the beginning. And then there's like this, just this really big deflating moment of like, oh, Cole's getting his power. And they've been teasing this entire time that he's going to be like a modern version of Scorpion. And then it's like, oh, you have a weird sweater. Like, I guess.
Yeah. It's like Scorpion is here too, but Cole's just his own character. I know, it's like Cole should have just been like, I'm Scorpion now.
Exactly.
That would have been fine.
There was so, like, there was so much set up for that.
Yeah.
Like, there's the movie kept teasing that.
He's introduced by like having those yellow bands on his hand. Yeah. Like, and I'm like, oh, he's Scorpion now. He's gonna like fucking shoot the spiky rope thing out of his hands by the end of this movie, and didn't happen.
It was dumb.
He was getting like flashbacks of Scorpion's signature weapon, like, not, which means nothing. So I was like, oh, I guess he was just getting flashbacks of that for no reason.
And then they're gonna bring Scorpion back. They can't not have Scorpion in this franchise. I mean, he's like the other ninja. And so
my friends were severely disappointed that Reptile was a real reptile. And I know that happens in the video games here and there, but
So who was missing out of this movie? Who did we not?
Tons of people.
Like, I can't even think of like who was in the
Baraka is the one I always wanted.
Baraka.
To
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I mean, like the five other ninjas, Kitana and all the other like female ninjas. Unless the flying lady was supposed to be one of them. I don't know. I don't know
who that is.
I don't know who that is either.
But then who's the lady with the teeth? The one that looks like she ate a McRib?
Yeah. Like, I have no idea. Like,
I mean, I remember her. I just can't remember her name. And she came into like part two or three or something. Yeah. But,
I have no idea, man. I don't give a shit about any of this stuff. I mean...
That's true.
It's like, it's so stupid that the movie tries to be serious, and at the end when Scorpion hits Sub-Zero with the thing, he actually goes, "Get over here," like in the game.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
you can't have it both ways, guy. It's like, I would rather them lean into the campy ridiculousness of it. But I guess apparently video games are better than movies now, and the stories are good, allegedly, is what I've heard from these games. But I don't believe it.
But the thing is, like, if... Like, I did that, and I said in the Discord that I watched, like, 3 hours of the Miles Morales gameplay.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Which I was like, this is incredible. This is fun. But I don't need a movie of that, because the video game exists. It's there. It's the same story. It's there.
Right.
And it's like the movie doesn't necessarily serve any additional purpose.
No.
You know, it is tied to this other thing that is... in an, like, itself, this other media property. And I mean, I guess, you know, you could say, well, you know, they adapt comic books and novels and stuff, but it's like, that is a completely different medium. And like the cutscene of a video game, you're not playing that. It is a movie that you're watching. Yeah. It is a piece of cinematic thing that you're watching. And so what is the difference of me like sitting and watching this here versus like just watching a string of cutscenes in a movie theater that doesn't necessarily tie into a bigger story. And I don't know. Like, are we going to see this with like a Red Dead movie or something? Like, are we going to get the same thing? And
yeah,
who knows?
I mean, video game to movies are tough. Sorry, Randy, you're saying?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I don't think that there's any reason to do video games are so influenced by movies, especially speaking of Red Dead and GTA and stuff. All that stuff is just inspired by movies. So it's like, you can't, it's going to be bad if it comes to, you know, there's no way to do it. And unless, I guess, adapt the story for how it is in the game, just to a movie form with actual people. Yeah. Like, I feel like Max Payne was an opportunity to do that they bungled. horrible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, people forget that the movie even existed, the Mark Wahlberg Max Payne movie.
Yeah.
But the game Max Payne is a kind of like a movie, you know? Yeah. It's like, why not just adapt? Why not just film this? But they didn't.
Yeah.
They did something different that was bad. Anyway.
Well, I mean, even now you have like Keanu Reeves showing up in video games, and it's like, you know, and the video games are making more money than the movies are anyway. So it's like, you don't even need the movie. It's it's just kind of a tie-in. And but with Mortal Kombat, they did a couple like anime movies, I think. That
they did,
that like people seem to like. I don't know.
Yeah, they released one last year, and now it is on HBO Max, Rise of Scorpion, which I would argue is honestly a better version of that first 90s Mortal Kombat movie. It's literally like pound for pound the 90s Mortal Kombat movie, but it's from Scorpion's point of view. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was great. It's solid. It tells an interesting story. And it does, and it keeps all the stuff I liked about the 90s Mortal Kombat movie. So, you know, I was optimistic about this live action one when I heard, oh, Scorpion's going to be the main character, which is also weird because the poster basically shows you two people who have about four lines of dialogue in the whole movie. The poster is Scorpion and Sub-Zero, and guess who doesn't show up for most of the movie?
Yeah.
Indeed.
It's... I don't know. Did you ever watch that show Heroes that was on in the early 2000s?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was on, and like season two started during like a writer's strike, and it just like, you know, they kept teasing like save the cheerleader, save the world, and then they did, and then okay, what other stories are going to happen in this? And it's kind of, they kind of blew their load in that first season. They did what they said they were going to do, and then they were like, oh, okay. I mean, it feels like that. It feels like that's what they're going to be doing. But they didn't even have a real point to this movie. They didn't have like a central theme to this movie. Of like,
I was trying to think about that. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So my brother has he's got kids, like newborns. So like so when he watches movies, he really piecemeals it and juggles it. So he's only seen half of the first of this Mortal Kombat movie we're talking about. I asked him, like, well, how do you think it's going to end? And he could not like – figure for the life of him, like, well, I don't even know what the plot is 1 hour in. Like, I don't know what the struggle is, so I don't know how they can resolve it. And I was thinking to myself, like, yeah, like, I think to your point, like, how I think the Mortal Kombat movie could have gone and ended would very like simply be you fight like Shang Tsung and his warriors or whatever. And then, I mean, you could do the whole thing where it's like you fight them and they're just trying to mess with you before the tournament. And then you end on the tournament's coming and Shang Tsung was just one realm. And there's like nine other realms out there. And then like show a montage of all these other potential fighters that like, oh, you thought that was a badass? You only fought one world, you know, like something like that. Mm-hmm. Like that. Then you're like, oh, OK, can't wait to see how they do against these other badasses and all that stuff.
Or they kept using this thing where like they're like, okay, well they defeated us nine times, so if they get the 10th one, start out with that ninth one. Like start out at the ninth tournament where they're just like fucking getting their asses kicked.
Yeah.
And it's like one more will rule the world forever. And it's like, okay, now we got it. Now we're training. And again, you get this end it at the beginning of the next tournament when they're ready to go and they're all like the whole movie is like a training montage, essentially, for assembling the team.
Yeah. And honestly, Mortal Kombat keeps doing this. They keep saying, like, the world's at stake, but I don't need the world to be at stake. Just say I'm an asshole and I like watching fights.
Yeah.
I don't need that world stake. It doesn't matter that much to me.
You can have it kind of be like they're selected at random, kind of like in Secret Worlds or Wars or whatever, where they're just like...
exactly.
Patched together from different universes and stuff, and they're all kind of there together and don't really know what's going on. And I do have one movie I keep wanting to compare this to, but it's one of my recommendations. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna save that for a little bit later. Save I think there's I think there's a movie that does all this much better. So
I mean, oddly enough, there's this game that is notoriously known as the worst version of Mortal Kombat back when it came out. But I thought that it had a better story was Eternal Champions. Do you remember that for Sega Genesis? The premise is they are taking the best fighters from all time, all of time, like the future, the past. Like there's a caveman, there's a sci-fi guy, and they're fighting in a tournament. And if they win, they get to go back to living. They get to live again. That's the tournament. I was like, oh, that's neat. Then you can pull every genre. You can have a guy. There's like a colonial guy. There's like a colonial zombie, and versus like a, literally a caveman. And they all have their own story arc of why they were unjustly killed and why they need to come back to life. Like,
that's cool, man. That would be a cool movie, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we need more cavemen in movies. I watched that fucking Scoob movie.
Yeah.
And like Captain Caveman showed up and it was like for 5 minutes. And I'm like, man, this could have been a whole movie. Captain Caveman, give it to me.
Didn't see.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no. I was going to say, like, COVID may have thrown zombies out of popularity, but what happened to the caveman craze? Where is that?
We're going to get a new Clan of the Cave Bear movie. Nobody's going to like it.
Iceman.
Yeah. Encino Man.
Iceman remake.
Oh, yeah. God, I would love an Encino Man reboot.
Yeah. Who could play the Encino Man?
I'm sure we got some himbo who could come and play the Encino Man.
I was going to say, who's a good himbo these days? Cena?
God, they would use him, wouldn't they?
He's kind of got like a Cro-Magnon.
He does.
Like,
here's a better idea. Instead of one caveman, it's three cavemen, and it's the New Day.
Okay.
Or are there four new guys in the New Day?
No, there's three in the New Day. I thought you were about to pitch the Geico caveman to me. I was like,
no, it didn't
work.
Yeah.
No, it's the New Day and they're the cavemen.
Sure.
Either they're the cavemen or they're the guys who find the cavemen.
Right. I'll just spin and yes and this, that the cavemen show up, but it also ties into meeting at the end of the movie, Marty McFly, who's working on a science project, and then you've got an Encino Man Back to the Future reboot cinematic universe.
But who? Okay, another important part of Encino Man, though, is of course Pauly Shore. Who could replace Pauly Shore?
God, I'm going to say like it's probably some YouTuber I don't know. Like I guarantee you, that's what it is.
That's probably you're probably dead on about that. It's some kids that we don't know about.
I think like circling back to a way earlier point you brought up, Will, and I just want to go on this rant because I might have gone on this rant on like this podcast before. But when you were saying like the idea that like the characters need, like the characters themselves could all use their own breathing space and arc, I consistently pitch that I genuinely think the world is ready for a Breakfast Club cinematic universe. I 100% believe that you could make a movie about a lone weirdo. You can make a movie about a jock. You can make a movie about like a preppy girl. You can make a movie about a nerd, make them all teen rom-coms, but make them all end with them going to detention. And it sets up a Breakfast Club movie, Avengers style. And I think it would work.
But it's like, okay, you say that, but the John Hughes movies are also kind of a thematic universe.
Yeah.
Where you do get those types of characters and they all get their own stories and like different variations, both as like teens and adults. So a lot of his adult characters are very much like those as well. It's just like, I don't know if you need, like the Breakfast Club to me is like, I don't need anymore. Like their story has been told.
I just feel like, like Netflix is like pumping out like 5 teen rom-coms a week.
Oh,
why not?
I would not be surprised if they did like
connected.
Cobra Kai style Breakfast Club spinoff series. So, but. Well, cool.
Yeah.
I think we're at a good point for a break. So let's head to that break and we'll be back for the big roundup.
Ooh. I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy any time.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
Hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Annie. Have you ever enjoyed a palaver?
Is it good to be the dog's dinner?
Who is this Bob, and why is he your uncle?
For the answers to all these questions, you'll have to listen to our podcast, Boo to a Goose, breaking down British and American expressions and idioms.
We use them, define them, and explain their history, all in a short, digestible format.
So go ahead and check out Boo to a Goose wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheerio!
That means goodbye.
Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romain.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
Okay, we're back for the big roundup for Mortal Kombat 2021. Steven, on a 1 to 5 star scale, what would you give Mortal Kombat?
Do we do halves on this one?
Yeah, we can do a half.
I think this is a solid 2.5, and that is like 3 is I'll pay for it. Like this movie wouldn't have seen it if it was released in theaters. I actually think this is one of the ones where this was a good call to release it straight to streaming. So solid 2.5.
2.5 stars. Okay, Randy, what do you got on this one?
I'm going to echo what he said and even go lower than that.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to give it 2 out of 5 stars. I just don't, I feel like there was a few basic things that they needed to achieve and they failed on that.
Yes.
It reminded me sort of when they remade Texas Chainsaw Massacre and they didn't do the dinner scene in the movie. It's like, well, that's kind of the climax of the movie, you know, where the Robert Englund Phantom of the Opera doesn't have a chandelier scene. They just skip that part. It's like, well, okay. So yeah, I don't know. This without the tournament and I didn't think the fights were good. I mean, that's another thing that I've been told I'm wrong, but I think they were bad, you know, personally.
They weren't that good.
Not that the original movie had good fights, but this wasn't good either. But
yeah.
It's like that American thing of they overcut. They overcut the camera.
Yes. I've been noticing that with some movies. Like there's on one of my free streaming services that I use, there's like a Kung Fu channel.
Yeah.
And they're showing all these like foreign made martial arts movies. And it's like, wow, these are shot completely differently. And it's like a lot of wide shots, a lot of like no cuts. And you're just seeing the whole action take place. And I'm like, this is really fucking cool.
And
American movies is just like cut.
Yeah. And I think there's like some like confusion there where like originally the quick camera cuts were meant to hide a lack of skill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people conflated that with that's just how you film action movies.
Yeah.
Because like even in the Rush Hour movies, there's a lot of quick cuts. And I would say it is actually partially lack of skills that Jackie Chan was getting older when the Rush Hour movies came out. And so the quick cuts make a little bit more sense to hide the fact that he was getting older when people want to see Jackie Chan level action.
That's funny you're saying that, because like that is the movie I was watching where I realized that. I was watching that like earlier in the week, and I was like, oh, wow, they're like cutting a lot compared to
any other Jackie Chan movie.
What was the one we were watching for this show?
Wheels on Meals.
Wheels on Meals.
That was so good. I love that.
Yeah, that one is like, that one is shot so differently than Rush Hour. And it's like, you can tell like who, like the Jackie Chan directed that one, I think. No. That was, what's his name? The other guy in the movie.
Sammo.
Yeah. But they're like, they are martial arts guys directing and choreographing for martial arts scenes. Whereas like, this other guy's like, I'm an action director, but I'm not a martial artist. And so
Ratner is like not even, he's just like a terrible director anyway. Yeah. But
well, my rating on this, Randy, is going to match yours, 2 stars. I'm not going to give it the extra half. Definitely not. I mean,
when the director's name came up, I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, I looked him up. I like, it was nobody I can tell, like maybe TV, but
that's an interesting risk for them to take.
Not really. I mean, it's just, you know, they know what it is. The studio that made it probably had a lot of control, and they're just, he's doing it for hire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But wasn't good.
Nope.
Yeah.
But recommendations.
Recommendations. Steven, you got any recommendations on this for better movies?
I would say like the one I mentioned before earlier of Scorpion's Revenge, I think. Mortal Kombat. It's an animated movie on HBO that I think is probably your best bet for a Mortal Kombat movie. And I will, I guess, recommend the Cobra Kai series, I guess, if you want more random fighting that doesn't try to explain why you have to fight. Like, if you want a really good example of people who fight with no good explanation, but somehow as an audience member, you're fine with it. Cobra Kai nails it.
we got into that show. We watched the first 2 seasons. We haven't got season 3, and it's good, but my wife was like, so everyone in this town is just obsessed with like martial arts. And it's kind of like, I mean,
they don't try to defend it.
Just roll with it and just pretend that like, yes, everyone in this town is obsessed with like tennis or like lacrosse or something for some reason. And just roll with it.
The stakes are much lower than there's no fireballs, but they figured out how to do it. So Mortal Kombat should be able to.
Absolutely. Randy, what do you got for recommendations on this one?
Well, we briefly mentioned other tournament movies. I think Bloodsport, you can't go wrong with that movie. A movie that I bring up a lot with people that not a lot of people saw is Man of Tai Chi. From about 10 years ago, Keanu Reeves directed it, and he plays the villain in the movie. And it's just it's an awesome movie about a guy that reluctantly enters into this underground fighting circuit, basically, like that's run by this kind of Bond. He's sort of like a Bond villain type character played by Keanu Reeves. And it's just like, it's awesome. And it gets to a point where you're like, well, that was pretty good. But then Keanu Reeves shows up, and it's like boss battle, basically, with Keanu Reeves. And it goes over the top, and it's just super, very, very good. I highly recommend Man of Tai Chi if you want a good tournament movie. Yeah, with cool fighting and shit in it. Yeah, it's good.
Cool. My recommendation is a little bit, I mean, it's another one that's a bit of a competition where the main character is fighting multiple characters, including one named Sub-Zero. I am, of course, talking about The Running Man. The Running Man. Stephen King and Arnold Schwarzenegger together at last. So, yes, The Running Man is my recommendation based on this. I love that movie. So much. It is not a martial arts film, but it is the competition. It's got Jesse the Body Ventura in it. It's got what's his name from? It's got what's his name from Family Feud?
Richard Dawson.
Richard Dawson is in it, and then Stephen Tobolowsky shows up in it. It's got Sub-Zero in it, and Arnold, when he kills him, has a great line. Here's your Sub-Zero. Now, Plane Zero.
that's a stretch for wordplay if I've ever heard one. I have a question because a friend recommended this one to me. Best of the Best.
Oh, yeah.
I just watched that one. Yeah.
Okay. My friend described it as this. Tell me if this is right. Is it? He said it's Mortal Kombat meets Mighty Ducks.
That's actually, that's not far off.
Yeah,
it is a total, like, it's like adult men in a karate tournament, but it's straight up for children. It's like a child, a young boy's fantasy of like
honor what they think and stuff. Or karate.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Steven, I'll link you up with some stuff after the thing, so including that movie. Perfect. So that is such a good description of best of the best.
Yeah. I liked two more as a kid. I thought
is Eric Roberts in that one too?
Yeah. Two has everybody back. Philip Ree, Eric Roberts, and Chris Penn all come back
for
two.
So it's just like Mighty Ducks then.
Yeah.
And then who's gone in part three? Eric Roberts?
Part three is just Philip Ree for the next two. Okay.
Cool. God. Those are great. Well, perfect. I think that just about wraps up our episode on Mortal Kombat 2021.
Yeah.
Steven, what do you got to plug? Anything coming up?
I have a weekly Twitch show called The Price is Steven on Wednesdays at twitch.tv/supertrashedtv. Spelled exactly how it sounds. It's on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. PST. I don't know what that means, but it's a game show I host where I bring in random comedians and people from my life, and we play The Price is Right with the random nerdy stuff I own. So
yeah, it's great. I love that show, and you all been putting it on YouTube now so I can watch it on TV.
Yeah,
and I'm going through it, and I love it. It's so much fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Check that out. Randy.
Yeah.
Oh, I just check out Chat Pile. It's my band. That's it. That's all I got to plug.
Yeah. And sorry, Steven, did you have anything else you wanted to plug there?
Yeah.
No. I was just going to say I'd love to have you guys on as guests sometime.
Oh, perfect.
It'd be a lot
of
fun. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great. We'll figure it out.
For me, we got Nerd Rage, the Great Debates podcast every Monday. Check your podcast listening apps or whatever for new episodes of that. It's a comedy debate show. We're creeping on to like 5 years, I think, coming up.
Yeah.
And so check that out. SepTalk for documentary reviews. That's also just celebrated 5 years, 6 years. Whew.
Wow.
So I've been doing that for a while. And then Talkies on Twitch, every Talkies show on Twitch on every other Friday, first and third Fridays. And then that is moving pretty soon. We're going to do it once a month on Twitch on a weekday. And then we might do live shows again, but everyone's so spread out. So I don't know what the hell is going to happen with that. So, but check those out. Also, a little show called Cathode Ray Mission. Check it out wherever you find podcasts. Rate and review us. That helps out a lot. And thank you all of you who are listening.
Yeah, we got somebody on Wednesday gave us a review that was just like,
oh, did they?
Good or something. It was like 5-star review. So thank you to whoever that was.
And check that out.
Indeed.
We'll keep doing this if you want us to do them. So, all right. Or not. If you tell us to shut the fuck up, we will do that. We will. Yeah. I have better things to do, honestly. All right. Thank you both for watching this movie. I definitely would not have seen it, and I'm glad that I finally got it over with, and I don't have to think about it anymore.
Check out the Scorpion one. I think I'd love to hear your opinion about it afterwards.
I watched about 15 minutes of it, and I was like, okay. And I had just watched, I just wrapped up Invincible, which is also very a violent animated superhero TV series. And the violence was very similar in Mortal Kombat. And I was like, I need to take a break a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, so I'll get back to that eventually. Anyway, until next week, then, thank you both for showing up and talking about this with us. And Randy, until next week, I'll see you.
See you then.
See you then.